desktop and get going. Okay, and I got a handout for you. So real estate is, 18 slides. So we have enough time. Yeah, good. Real estate, and here we really see the effect of leverage. We really see the power and danger of leverage. So this reinforces what we learned when we did margining. Because margining, we use the power of leverage to magnify our gains and potential losses and pass them those that way. And here in real estate. Real estate, folks, is an entire course unto itself. I will tell you that, the truth. But it's potentially, I don't know why I have enough, but how many do we have? Pass them that way, please. I thought I made enough. Retirement. Oh, poopy balls. I guess I did not make enough real estate. Do we have any extras? Did you get one? Okay. He's got it. Okay. So, I like to say real estate is tricky, which is a euphemism for it's a real pain in the butt. And folks, I got to tell you that I have a renewed appreciation for how difficult investing in real estate is these days, because we're right now going through the eviction process on a renter. And I feel sorry for the family, but I apologize to them. I said I didn't want to do this, but you left us no choice. There are two ways to invest in real estate, and that's direct and indirect. Direct is the one we think about, where your name's on the title, your home, a vacation home, rental property is a whole course into itself. Well, I'll throw out some ideas for you to chew on, but you really need to... My advice, actually, is start working for a property manager. That's, I think, the best way to get involved in real estate. The biggest gains come from undeveloped land, but that's also the most riskiest, folks. Do not choose undeveloped land with the idea that you're going to develop it or flip it eventually for as your first real estate investment. You could wind up just losing all your money. And there are so many properties out there in Hamul and Jacumba and Brawley that are being sold at auction because the people gave up paying the property taxes, and you take it over thinking you're going to develop this, and then 5 years after paying property taxes, you give it up because you're sick of paying money out your pocket, and then they sell it again for property. Yes?
What about those people that flip houses for
$500,000? It's really difficult to do in San Diego. It's just, you're up against the best people in the world. And
is it legitimate?
Well, some of the advertisements are obviously, they're like, the 2-day option seminars, whether the 5-day real estate flipping seminars. You can buy a property in San Diego for $23,000, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and you can turn around and sell it next day for $280,000. And you go, give me a break. And you feel sorry for the people who believe this. There's a reality game show guy. I got the link on my website. A reality guy, I forget his name, but he's called Flip This House. Is that what it's called? Is there a show? It's called Flip This House? Or Flip something like that? And what? There are a bunch of them? And I forget how much he wanted, but it was a whole lot more than the option seminar. Let me see if I have it on the website. I have it on the class website. Where is it? Here, this reality show star wants you to teach you how to flip real estate. And the cost is only $34,000, folks. Only $34,000. You don't believe me, do you? So here it is. So read it. Scarcely believe. Earn $70,000 or $80,000 a year in your spare time. If you plunge in first time, working your own pace, from home, without a boss, you can make money. Fuck, unbelievable. Don't worry about mortgaging your house. Don't worry about putting it all on credit cards, because you're going to pay off those credit cards more than fewer time than you thought could ever be possible. And people fall for it. That's the sad part. People fall for it. The other way to invest in real estate is indirect. And I don't know if we discussed real estate investment trusts. Maybe we made mention of them. They're not corporations. They look like stocks for all purposes for us as investors. They look like a stock, Simon Properties Realty Incorporated. But they are not. They're trusts, and they're by law required to take them. They're kind of like a mutual fund, but instead of investing in stocks and bonds, they invest in real estate. So when you go to the Vons and you go to the Walmart, do they actually own that property? Very rarely. Very rarely. They lease it from the real estate investment trust. Large apartment complexes, office buildings, hotels, malls, warehouses, they are owned by real estate investment trusts. And then they pass through the rent and any capital gains to the investors. So here's one that's based actually here in San Diego called, in fact, I have it on the next slide, I think. I forget where I have it, but let's look it up right now. Quote, Realty, they have O. Why would you want the symbol O? I don't know, but they have it. And, oh my goodness, the price has fallen. Because these things usually pay 6, 7, 8% in dividends. They pay normally more than stocks, because stocks don't have to pay out all their earnings, right? And most companies don't. They use the money, the retained earnings, to build the business. Whereas REITs must. I think it's 90% or either 95, either one, I can't remember. It's either 90 or 95%. They must turn around and pay you dividends. Well, they're not actually legally dividends. They're called fees from operations. They're taxed differently. They're taxed like interest payments on a bond. So they don't have the preferential tax treatment that dividends have. But you can think of them as dividends. But look at the P.E. I think these things are too expensive. I like REITs, by the way. I like dividends. I like income. And real estate, I don't have to fix a toilet. I don't have to fix a tenant. It's a cool way to invest. But right now, I think these are too expensive. Personally, one of my best stock picks was not a stock pick. It was a REIT. They've been bought since then. But it's called Pan Pacific Properties. You might see the name now. Now that you know that it exists, you might see the name when you go by a shopping center. Managed by Pan Pacific Properties. You're up in Vista. But here's one of the biggest companies. Simon Property Group. Did I get that right? Yeah, Simon Property Group. This is one of the biggest REITs in the United States. And they're still paying the 3.3%. No, that's too little. Market cap of $57 billion, but a P.E. 40. I think these things are too darn expensive. Personally, in my humble opinion, your mileage may be different. Our lawyers told us to say that. There are syndicates, limited partnerships, tax credits for low-income housing, equity sharing, where you buy into a property by coming up with a down payment. You're the investor. The couple or the young person who's buying the property, they live in it. Everybody's name is on the lease. And you share in the appreciation. Now, this is normally done within a family. The grandparents, the parents will come up with a down payment. The young couple just starting out, they live in the house. But it doesn't have to be. And it's typically 50-50 that they share in the appreciation. But again, it doesn't have to be. Everything's negotiable. And then somebody just talked about hard money today. You become the bank. You become the mortgage company. And you lend these people the money to buy real estate. And no bank, no credit union, no mortgage company will touch them. So you get 10, 11, 12% on a mortgage when mortgages are 4%. Now, what do you think of that? It's damn risky, isn't it? Now, you can always foreclose, but that costs thousands of dollars, and that's fraught with problems. And who's to say that they're not going to trash the place? These are people that aren't going to be touched by a bank or a mortgage company. I don't want anything to do with it. I do know somebody, he's passed away, sadly, but I knew somebody who did this in his retirement, and he told me, I mean, I don't have any reason not to believe him, but he told me that he was very, very picky about who he picked and that he did fairly well. And I trust him because I trust his wife. I don't know if I trust him or not, but I did trust him. But sadly, he just passed away, so I can't find out how well he did. I'm not about to ask his wife, who was a good... She's a teacher, but she retired many years ago. So, do you want to read?
No.
Not now. Yeah, not now. For commercial property, it is very expensive, folks. It is outrageously expensive in San Diego. Think of a duplex, maybe a quadplex or something like that, small apartment building. But we're also talking hotels, office buildings, storefronts, and other commercial establishments. Do not be surprised if you're looking at negative cash flow for several years. What does that mean? The rent does not come anywhere close to paying the mortgage, the insurance, the taxes, whatever else, the property taxes and the like. And the rule of thumb is 7 to 10 times rent. So if you could rent, so what can you rent out a house in Chula Vista for? Let's say a 2-bedroom house. Probably a lot more than $1,500. Let's say $1,800. Multiply that times 10. $180,000. Can you find a 2-bedroom house in Chula Vista for $180,000? No. So, I'm sorry, this is not right. I mean, this is $1,800 times 12. Do that first. I need your calculator. That's roughly $20,000. Because that's $1,800 per month. So $21,600 per year. I'm confusing you, aren't I? Okay, multiply that times 10. Are you with me? Understand? Now, Isaiah, didn't you say you guys just bought a duplex?
Yeah.
How much?
We're paying 13 for, well, I myself, for the front house, I'm paying 13.
No, how much did you pay for the house?
Oh, like 45.
450?
45,000? 485,000.
Oh, 485. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm a little up in my ears. Okay, so 485,000. So there's one unit in the back, and that's bringing in how much?
$2,100 a month, and then we pay like $100 in water.
So that first unit is bringing in $2,100 a month. Two bedrooms, three bedrooms?
Four
bedrooms. That makes sense. And the second unit is bringing in?
$1,350.
That's pretty good. So what do we got? $4,450. Multiply that times 12. Ha ha ha. $3,450. Sorry. That's why I use calculators, folks. And you, come on, tell me, what's 3450 times 12? I was thinking, yeah, that's a little good. 41,400. Multiply that times 10. And they're pretty darn close, folks. They've done pretty darn well. You guys did pretty well for San Diego. Because this is not usual. Not usual. Now, I can imagine that you're, how much did you, I'm getting a little personal here, but how much did you put down? You put 25% down, like 100 grand?
I'm not sure.
Not sure. So let's say they had to put 25%. Maybe not, because you're living in the first one. You might have been able to get away with a lot less. But let's say they put 85,000 down. So that means they got a mortgage of $400,000. So your mortgage is probably about 2,700. The mortgage.
Yeah.
Seems a little low. Maybe you take it. They might have gotten it at 3.5 or so. Do you remember your interest rate?
It's not my house personally.
I know, but it's okay. That's okay. Anyway, it sounds like they got a pretty sweet deal. Because they might be even cash flow positive or at least neutral. Because they got to pay the mortgage, they have to pay the property taxes, insurance. Maybe you have some of the utilities, probably have to pay the water. Yeah, because the problem with the water bills, the politicians understand this. They would rather have the water bill go to the tenants. The problem is the code, up until just a few years ago, did not require a water meter for each individual unit. The water meter was set for the entire complex, to the duplex or the quadplex or whatever. So the landlord wound up paying it, because how do you, you know, proportion it amongst the, and he uses more water than I do. I never take a shower. So, and the politicians now have required that all new units must have their own water meter, and of course the renters are going to use less water because they're ones paying for it. When they're not paying for it, what do they care? So you did pretty good. But in general, in San Diego, except for the 2008 turmoil, where this became commonplace, that you could get a place for 10 times or less rent, which was very cool. Very cool, but it was impossible to buy because the banks were just, they were overwhelmed with properties. And I think the South Bay is the best place. Concentrate on smaller properties first, folks. Don't get too over your head because the real estate world is replete with people who bit off far more than they can chew and then wound up losing everything. Look for low down payments and seller financing of rundown properties because banks usually don't want to loan to a distressed property. However, banks are normally all too happy during normal times to get the property off their books. So we'll lend you the money, you take it over. Yes?
What about repos?
That's what I'm talking about, repossessions, foreclosures.
Oh.
During the 2008-09 crisis, they had thousands of these things on their books and they just couldn't handle it. They just couldn't handle the, and it took the, I don't know if you remember the robo-signings where they were signing the foreclosure papers for 200 properties in one day. And the attorneys general said, you can't do this. You know the law. You have to go through each and every one. They were just signing them without even looking at what the hell's going on. And then they got their hands slapped and it slowed the process down. But that's almost, it seems like it's almost over now. As far, and I don't know, because I don't work in the industry. So in normal times, if there's a bank that has a distressed property, place is falling apart, they will be very happy to give you the financing, get it off their books. My advice is, I can give you the name of somebody who I trust. He's a property manager. He's very good. But who cares more about your property than you? I don't think there's anybody who cares more about your property than you. And they take typically 10% of the rent, which I think is a little high, but that's what they do. Most importantly, are you savvy dealing with repairs and are you savvy dealing with renters? Because fixing a tenant is just as important as fixing a toilet, in my humble opinion. And tenants can cost you thousands of dollars just being not very nice people. Make improvements. This guy, you got to read this book, too. He's got a few others. Jay DeSima. I do nothing. I can't hammer. I can't saw. I can't fix anything. That's why I got Rolf, and I got Mario, and Enrique, and Oscar, and Jason. But this guy, you got to read his stuff because he's good. He's good. He had a house that was settling. You know, the foundation's kind of falling. It's not usually that serious, but the house looks like it's tilting. So what did he do when he replaced the doors and the windows? He tilted them all away from the settling, so now the house looks straight up and down. That's nothing. What? This guy, yeah. It's nothing new. Look at the Leaning Tower of Pisa. If you look at the Leaning Tower of Pisa, you see it's leaning, and at the very end, the Italian engineers, because it started leaning when they started building it, at the very end, they props didn't help. It's still falling. But it's nothing new. It's nothing new. Okay, we talked about real estate investment trusts already. They're pass-through investments like mutual funds, and 95% of their earnings, shopping centers, office buildings, management fees typically range from 1% to 2%, and over the long term, they've returned about 7% to 8%. So they're not bad. They're not bad, in my humble opinion. They're a great way to invest in real estate without having to be a landlord, and we already looked at them. I think right now they're not the best buy, but that's my humble opinion. How did he make it and lose it? By doing very risky real estate development projects, some of which have done well and some of which have put him through bankruptcy. Hasn't he gone through bankruptcy
three times
now? But that's typical for real estate developers. If you want to get into that world, get into that world. But not what you won't be able to with your own money. You just won't be able to. Right now, if you wanted to build an apartment complex with 10 units, it's going to cost over $1.2 or $3 million, which means you have to come up with 25% of that, $300,000. Is that where you're going to start? I don't think so. I think you got to get in the industry first. Yes.
What's the typical amount for an investment
program? Oh, REITs. You buy one share. It's like a stock. It looks like a, for all investment purposes, for us, it looks like a stock. You can buy 100 shares or 50 shares or whatever. Whereas when you you got to go to the bank and say, okay, I want to put together this shopping center. How much is it going to cost? $45 million. Okay, how much do you have to put down? Where is the location? You know, where you got the permits. It's a whole world unto itself. And if you want to get in that world, please do. But realize, you know, you're going to start it. And San Diego is one of the toughest places. It's one of the toughest places in the world because it's so, you know, so desirable.
So like Plaza Bermuda and all these shopping centers, are they owned?
That's Westfield. I think it's called. I think Westfield is private. I'm not sure who owns it. But Westfield also owns Fashion Valley. I'm sorry, what's it called? Fashion Valley, right. Westfield. Let's look them up. Let's look them up. See if they're public. Let's see. I know. I'm not even in this world, folks. Westfield. Oh yeah, Westfield Financial. I don't know. I'm sorry. Well, they own a lot of them. I don't know if they own every one. Where are my glasses? Oh, there they are. Westfield Financial. I don't think that's the company. Westfield Financial Incorporated profile. No, this isn't it. Holding Bank of Westfield Bank that provides community banking. I don't know. No, we have to do a search. We have to do a search. So you that's your homework. Go check out, see who owns Westfield properties, who the people who own Plaza Bonita and Fashion Valley and the like. Okay, what are some of the advantages? It's been traditionally a hedge against inflation and financial leverage, which is the use of borrowed funds for investment purchases, which allows you to acquire a more expensive property than you could on your own. We'll take a look at some problems in just a bit. For REITs, easy entry, easy exit, unlike most real estate where it's a pain in the neck to buy, it's an even bigger pain in the neck to sell. No management concerns. And you can't check the price of your real estate investments every day on the internet. You hear people say, I'm in it for the long term, and they're running into the computer every 5 minutes and say, oh, it's going down 25 cents, what should I do? Well, actually, now you can. Have you looked at Zillow or Trulio or Reddit? I don't know if I trust them very much. The real estate agents are doing their best to make sure it doesn't succeed. They are withholding information. They are giving them bad information. They want the only source to be what's called the multiple listing service, and you have to have a broker's license before you can use the MLS. So they want to have that gatekeeper. What's the problem with real estate? Liquidity. Not a problem for REITs. They look like stocks. But it is sometimes difficult, if not impossible, to sell your investments. But how long does it take to sell a house? Typically 6 months, 3, 6, 9 months. In 2005, you put the for sale sign up on Thursday afternoon. By Saturday, you had 5, maybe 6 offers. And Sunday, you signed the sales agreement. That was unusual. It's not going to happen again for a long time. But someday, people will get crazy again, and it'll happen. I don't know when. The passive tax shelter for syndicates and partnerships, that's the whole world unto itself, and the management problems. And people used to say, your property values will never go. Yes, they can. Your home is a major asset, folks. So when people would say to me, they say, well, why don't you invest in real estate? That's my wife. I said, we already have a house. We have a house, so we have some real estate investments. And I like stocks. I think they're more fun. Real estate to me just seemed too darn expensive for years in San Diego until 2008 and 2009. And then I turned around to my wife after looking at some prices and said, Anita, that's her name, let's go look at a duplex in Chula Vista. She said, what? You got me feeling comfortable about all these stocks. Which she used to say, they're just pieces of paper. I said, they're not even pieces of paper anymore. It's all electronic. The cool thing about owning a home is that if you buy it $100,000, sell it for $350,000, and you're single, you don't pay a dime of capital gains taxes. Every 2 years, you'll do that. If you're married, double it. $100,000 to $600,000, $500,000 of capital gains taxes free. I had a friend, I still have her, that was thinking of selling her house, beautiful house. As soon as she just mentioned it, people were saying, I'll buy it. And I said, you know what, you should get married, just for a year, save $40,000. She didn't think that was funny. I thought it was funny. But in my humble opinion, it's a home first, an investment second. But what you'll hear from people is, my house is the best investment I've ever made. And then you try to coax out of them what other investments. Well, pretty much the only investment I ever made. except for that penny stock. My brother-in-law, the ex-stockbroker, conned me into buying, but that stuff is worthless now. And those gold coins I bought way back in the Gulf War, 1999. What did I do with those things? Yes.
Well, that's what I say, but then what people do is they take out equity in their house, and then they end up in the hole again.
Yeah, that's what happened in 2005 and 6. People were using their house as a piggy bank and just keep taking money out, refinancing. Don't worry, you can re-keep refinancing. Re-keep refinancing with these optional ARMs and only paying $1,600 for a $500,000 loan when you really should be paying $3,200 for a $500,000 loan. And how did that end? Not good. Not good. Okay. Bottom line, in my humble opinion, it is a home first and investment second. But there are other people, most of them are real estate agents, who will tell you, no, 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 you don't understand. You're going to buy here, and you're going to live in here for 4 or 5 years, and then you're going to sell and move in this area because that's going to be rapidly appreciating, giving me 2 more commissions, and then you're going to live there for 4 or 5 years, and then buy over here, and give me 2 more commissions, and now I'll be going up in value.
I only have one more question.
One more question.
What are the fees for the old people, the government-backed mortgage things where they live in their house and they don't have to pay their mortgage?
You're talking about a reverse mortgage.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that they're government-backed, but a reverse mortgage, here's the scenario. You have to be 62, and I think they're going to raise the age because people are living longer now. But you have to be 62. You've lived in your house for 30 years. Maybe the mortgage is paid off, maybe it's not, but let's say it's mostly paid off. All right? You now need cash because you're in retirement and you thought Social Security was going to solve all your problems, and it's not. And so you need more money. So what you can do is you can go to one of these houses, one of these houses, these companies that sell reverse mortgages. Now be careful because they are sharks. There are sharks in the water, and you really need to talk to a trusted advisor, probably a lawyer, a CPA, or somebody who understands the damn contract, because you're not going to understand it, because they can throw things in that contract that will just make your life miserable. But the cool thing is they can't foreclose. You have to either die or move out of the house or sell the house, and then the loan comes due. So you can create for yourself a stream of income. But what's happening, folks, is the mortgage is getting bigger, and there's, of course, interest being charged. And then when you pass away or move into a senior housing or whatever, you leave the house, you sell the house, then the mortgage company gets paid.
So they're really screwing you.
Well, not really. I mean, as long as it's a legitimate... There are situations where they screw people. And I don't know if we have time. Hang on a minute. I need to get to slide 11, 18. But there are situations where they do screw people. And on my website in 121, chapter 7, there are some examples of reverse mortgages that went sour for the elderly people. But in general, what you're saying, with the deal you're making to the elderly folks is, look, you need income, right? You're at the end of your life. See, 62 used to be old. It's not. Now people are living in their 80s, 90s, and into their 100s. So they better raise that. I don't know if they will. I don't know. It's not me. It's a law. You need income. Here's the deal. We're going to give you that income, but we want our interest. Now, we're not going to take it now. We'll wait. We'll continue to raise the mortgage. We'll tack on the interest. And then when you pass away, or you move, because everybody's going to die, or you move into a senior housing facility, or you sell the house, we want our interest then. You know, that's the deal. Okay, you know, I'm not saying you have to take it. No one's putting a gun to your head. You don't have to take it. But there are people who say, you know, I need the cash, and it's the end of my life. So, what about San Diego? Well, prices in San Diego have gone down the past. They seem to have hit a bottom. At least the real estate agents certainly think so. If you plan on staying here, if this is where you want to live, given all the high cost of living, fine. I think San Ysidro and National City are two of the best values. Ew. You want to live in San Ysidro Skid Row or Nasty City? IB is one of the best beach values. But don't expect to happen what happened in the 2000s, 2002, 3, 4, 5, 6, to repeat itself. It will someday. It will. I don't know when, but not for some time. Please, God, let there be another real estate boom, and I promise I won't piss it away all the way this time. I saw this in 1993 over the desk of a woman up in North County, and I laughed, and I sat and talked with her. Do you think she pissed it all away in 2007? Okay. Come on, Piano, admit it. Real estate is the perfect investment. Look at what happened in the past 5 years, right? That's what they were saying in 2005 and 6 and 7. Beware the permanent trend. I love that. Permanent trend. Jumbo shrimp. Real estate goes up and down in cycles. Ask those who bought in 90 and sold 94, because real estate went down in the early 90s. People don't remember that. Those who bought in 2006 are now in foreclosure. But if you plan to hold on for the long term, you should do well. It is not as though San Diego is becoming less desirable, folks, assuming we have water, which we will. I had a buddy say, I'm going to leave. There's not going to be enough water. I said, oh, there'll be plenty of water. It will just cost us a fortune. The water bill will be another mortgage bill. And by the way, I hope by now, at the end of the semester, you understand that there is no such thing as a perfect investment. Every investment has advantages. Every investment has disadvantages. And you have to decide what the ones for you. But what about leverage, huh? What about the ability to make money with other people's money? Well, we've already discussed leverage, haven't we? Isn't this what makes real estate such a great investment? Well, yes, but it's not without its pitfalls. Just as with margining stocks, leveraging real estate potentially magnifies your gains and potentially magnifies your losses. So now, on the handout I gave you are two... I can't talk anymore. What is with me? I can't talk. Did I give you the handout? Real estate and real estate investment trusts? What the one did I... Real estate and leverage. Real estate and leverage. Okay. There it is. Oh, you know why? There are two. I was supposed to cut them in half. Okay. That's why there aren't enough. Oh, I'm getting old, folks. I'm getting old. Okay. So, anybody cut theirs in half? Because Isaiah doesn't have one. Do you have one, Steve? No, here it is, right here. That's it right there. Okay. Oh, boy. What? Do you have another one? She's got it. Okay. So, all right, so let's go put it up on the screen because we don't have a whole lot of time to do this. Dump. Where's the key? Where did it go? There it is. Ah, come on. Come on. Make it big. Something's wrong with this Windows system. Something is very, very wrong. But oh well, there's nothing I can do about it. Who has a Mac? What do you think of your Mac? You like it? I'm really serious.
There's a lot of get used to it coming from a PC.
I know, they're really expensive. The one I wanted. The one I want is $2,000. I was like, oh, I don't want to spend that much. Okay. I guess Southwest will buy it, right? No, I don't think so. So this is from the book that we had in 121. And this version of the book was written about 2003 and 4. And so this is what was going on. Dave, I like this, Dave. Some of you, I apologize if it's a review. Dave bought a rental property for $200,000 cash. Now, how many people come out with $200,000 cash? Not too many. During the crisis of 2008-09, a lot of people. Because the banks would not deal with you unless you came up with cash. They just didn't want to deal with you. If you said, I'll buy cash, fine, get the hell out of here. Take it, go. But we don't want to deal with all the financing. That's just not normal, folks. So a lot of big money investors from all over the country bought cash. They paid cash for these houses. So next year, he sold it for $240,000, which sounds like a big jump, but this is what was going on in 2002, 3, 4, and 5, up until 6, and then 7, it started to go down, and then the bottom fell out. So $40,000 total return, absolute dollar return, divided by the initial investment of $200,000 is a 20% return on your money. And this is what was going on with housing. I hope some of you remember. Some of you were very young, maybe. But a lot of you remember. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Well, what happens if you borrowed that much of that money? Let's say you invested only 10%. And normally, this is not allowed now. Unless you happen to live in the place. But if you're buying a rental, my understanding, at least in my experience, is they want 25% down now. Now, maybe Isaiah and his family were able to do a better deal. But normally, they're going to want you to put up 25% down. So he put up $20,000. For a $200,000 home, now rental property, you'd have to come up with $50,000. So he borrowed $180,000. So the gain is the same, $40,000. But how much did he bring to the table? Only $20,000. You see the difference? That's financial leverage. The bank came up with the other $180,000. So now he made $40,000 absolute dollar return on a $20,000 initial investment, a 200% return on his money. And that's why people were jumping up and down and screaming and hollering in 2003 and 4 and 5. Quick, run down, they're giving away free money. Because you can make 200% in 1 year. How long is that going to last? Well, it lasted until 2007 when prices just leveled off and then fell off a cliff. This is calculating the return on investment using financial leverage, and things do not go as planned. Suppose he invested only $20,000 of his own money and borrowed $180,000, and the property value went down 20%, and property values went down a lot farther in 2008 and 9. Now the question is, what's he going to tell his wife? Honey, I just lost $20,000, and by the way, we own another $20,000 on the property, because we can't sell it for $160,000. The property is now worth $160,000. He still owes $180,000. He lost all of his $20,000 initial investment, and he's under the hole. He's underwater, negative equity for another $20,000. So can he sell this property? No, unless he organizes a short sale with the bank. Goes to the bank and says, look, I can't make these payments. I'm either going to walk away, in which case you're going to get the property, or I'm going to wait for you to foreclose. And a lot of people did. They continued to collect the rent from their tenants and just stopped making the mortgage payment. And then 1-2 years later, the tenant got a letter saying, we're the bank, we now have the property, you have 60 days to leave, here's a check for $5,000, please go away. Now, wouldn't you want to, not kill, that's too good. I would want to find the landlord, if I were the renter, and cut off their kneecaps. I think that would be justice. Well, how would you feel, right? We get Vinny and Guido, we do the job. Okay, honey, we have a problem. So you understand? Financial leverage now? It magnifies potential gains and magnifies potential losses. Now, this is not going to be on the final, folks. This is not going to be on the final. You understand? Okay, so last couple of slides. Wait a minute. Did you say there are no capital gains taxes on real estate? As long as the home is your primary residence for 2 out of the last 5 years. So you could rent the place out for 20 years, live in it for 2 years, no capital gains. Very cool, but there's a little bit more, depending on if you did depreciation. There's a few other things. You have to talk to a CPA. And if you lose money on your primary residence, oh well, it was your home first, your investment second. There's no capital gains losses. You can't deduct that. If you lose money on a rental property, yes, you can deduct that, $3,000 a year for the rest of your life. Have you seen the ad? Start your real estate empire with no money down. You too can take advantage of the tremendous opportunities now in the wide open real estate foreclosure market. It's only $34,000 for our 10-day seminar, folks. Just buy it. Well, this one's $30. It's only $395. What a deal. You'll be on your way toward rich. You think I could make a lot of money if I didn't have any ethics? Yeah, I probably could. That's why I'm here and not there. Question? Thoughts? Okay, so my advice on real estate is buy a house, make it your home. In fact, Peter Lynch in his book went up on Wall Street. He says, you know, before you get invested in stocks, why don't you buy a house first? So even Peter Lynch says that. I think you should do both, right? I think you put $50 into a mutual fund and put down your start putting down your money into your down payment fund. After you've digested your own house, then look for some rental property, but learn as much as you can from folks who are already doing it. Maybe even working for a property manager for a spell to get a feel for what you need to be able to do when you become a landlord, when you become a property owner. Because the saying, I don't know if it's true or not, I don't know if there's any research to back it up, but the saying is that real estate has made more millionaires than any other type of investment. Now, I think that's just, maybe it's true, but if it is true, I think it's because it's just dumb luck, inflation. I remember we went to this chinchilla farm up in Vista. Chinchillas, because our friend wanted to buy a chinchilla for her family, and our son and this boy were friends. So we go up to, I didn't go, actually. I was not with them, but my wife and my son, and they went up to Vista to this chinchilla farm. And my wife was very interested. How did you get involved with this? They said, well, I don't know if some of you are too young, but on the back of matchbook covers would be these offers to learn how to be an artist and a graphic artist and buy Jeeps for $50 from this army surplus. And one of them was, become a millionaire, buy a chinchilla farm. And these people in the late 60s answered the Matchbox ad and wound up buying a chinchilla farm in Vista when there was nothing there. And they're now millionaires. Not because of the chinchilla farming. They've made a decent living off of raising chinchillas and selling them. It's because now the land is worth millions of dollars because it's in Vista. So there you go. I don't know what it's worth. So you want to become real estate investors? Nope.
Yep.
Okay. I'd say it's done all right. You guys did pretty darn good, I'll tell you. You're getting, we erased it, but you guys are going to go ahead. Okay. Last day is on Tuesday. So what we'll do is we'll do gold. You want to invest in gold? We'll talk about gold. And we'll take a look at some problems that would, hint, 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 be very similar to the problems on the final. And maybe we'll have a little bit of time to either do some accounts, brokerage accounts. We already discussed brokerage accounts, but retirement accounts. And or I might just resurrect some old baffle the broker questions from Business 123. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Yes, George.
Are they going to, for chapter 2, we have to know the formula?
No, I said no formulas for stocks, options, no formulas for options. You don't have to call and put option problems like we did in chapter 415. And no formulas for shorting or margining. Or real estate. Okay, I said that several times. 15, 14, and 2 will have specific questions. They'll be like the previous exams. You know the specific questions you have on every exam?
Oh, okay.
Then there will be general questions on everything else.
Okay.
What is a stock? What do you get from stocks? What is a bond? What do you get from bonds? What happens when interest rates go up? It's just, if you were remotely sober and relatively aware of your general surroundings, these are the things you need to know when your friends and family say, well, what the hell is a bond? What can you tell them? That's my goal in that respect, okay? Okay, good. All right, so I kept you a little over. My apologies. But if you gave me something, I still have it. So come on up and let me turn this over.